Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
It has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two!
Gilmore on a big step!
Lead Toledo, Ernest. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason Mann. With me as always is Rich Draich. And we are here with a first-time guest. It is Chris Fenrick of DancingWithNoah.com. Chris, welcome back to for the first time to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here, guys. And if you hear any weird dog barking in the background, I apologize for that.
Oh, that's a staple of our podcast.
Okay.
It's a staple of many podcasts, but yeah.
Yeah, mine are all, they've been running around all day and being nuts. They're actually just now sleeping, but otherwise, do not ever apologize
for
dog noise.
I didn't want to wear out my welcome that fast. So.
Oh, no. It's actually preferred that the dog is either barking or being obnoxious in the background.
Well, I'm not sure.
You've already endeared yourself.
Yeah. I'm not sure preferred, I would.
No.
We're not blaming you for it, so. We are here to talk about the top 50 case of Dominique Wilkins. He is looking to score sort of over the overall numbers. He is 47th all time in win shares, 102nd in win shares per 48, 96th in box score plus minus, and 48th in value over replacement player. He was second in MVP voting in 1986. He was once on the All-NBA first team, four times on the second team, twice on the third team. He had two seasons where he was in the top 10 in win shares per 48, two in value over replacement player. He is 14th all-time in points per game. In some of the other rankings, Bill Simmons has him 55th in his Book of Basketball Pyramid. Slam has him as 43rd in their top 500 of all time. And, he was an incredible scorer and one of maybe the couple of players who had the best case for being upset about not being on the original greatest 50 of all time. So, Chris, what do you think overall about Dominique's top 50 legacy?
I think it's weird because I think his legacy stems from being possibly the biggest snub on the list. So I'm 34 years old. I grew up watching Michael Jordan, and Dominique was always kind of that other guy that I was worried was going to beat Michael Jordan out for the scoring title, And I think Wilkins, when you look back at his career, the stats are ridiculous, but he always fell a little bit short. And I think that's probably what held him back, which to me at least is probably unfair. I know with the NBA, and we see this a lot with MVP voting and a lot of the awards, there's such a huge emphasis placed on winning that for guys who either play on teams that run into buzzsaws like Dominique going against Bird Celtics or eventually they went against the Pistons, even though I'm not sure they played them in the Pistons, but there were always a few teams that were a little bit better than his Hawks team. And I feel like that really contributed to him not getting the top 50 nod. If you look at just from a purely statistical point of view, like the stats are gaudy. I mean, there was like a 7-year stretch where he was easily the top scorer in the league from like the mid 80s into the early 90s. Just a ridiculous scorer, ridiculous athlete. I know some of the knocks on him are that he wasn't a great passer or he wasn't a great defender, but I do think there's certain elements of the game where you can be so dominant at something that it just overwhelms a lot of the other arguments and a lot of the other drawbacks to a player. for the longest time, I thought it was fine that he wasn't in the top 50. And as I've gotten older and just kind of contextualized his career, the more I feel like he absolutely should be in the top 50. I don't know where, but it seems a little odd that he wasn't part of that top 50, just given how big of an icon he was, again, both statistically and stylistically, which obviously, I mean, you don't get a nickname like the human highlight film for just being kind of a vanilla, boring player by any means, and he certainly wasn't that, but all of the in-game dunking, all of the dunk contests, like the dunk contests against Jordan, layer that on top of his stats, layer that on top of the head-to-head battles with Larry Bird. And to me, the whole body of work is like, it screams top 50 player.
I think that's the biggest thing with Dominique for me is that, you know, you look at his stats and they're very good, but they're not like immediately you jump off the board. Okay, he has to be in because of stats. And we've, you know, through a lot of this process of going through players, we've been looking at the stats a lot. And that's been one of our main focuses for a lot of the guys. With Dominique, though, I think you do have to really give him a lot of credit for just influence and stylistically, you know, what he meant for the game, what he means to players, what he meant to like fans. There's a lot there for Dominique. I mean, he's a guy, like you mentioned, we're not going to count, you know, the dunk contests or how many championships you win in the dunk contest, but he's synonymous with that contest. He's synonymous with a lot of in-game dunking. He's synonymous with, you know, being the guy that Jordan was facing in a lot of those dunk contests that made Jordan, you know, the next level superstar or whatever. And there's a lot of stuff there that you really unpack with Dominique. And the more you think about it from a purely, you know, we're maybe a little guilty, you know, on the show alone of looking at the stats and looking, okay, you know, where does he rank in this and sort of talking that. Whereas you look at this thing and you look at the NBA 50 greatest, in a lot of ways, we have said one of our criteria is, you know, how important you are to the game's history in a lot of ways. And Dominique's a guy who, you know, increasingly he hasn't really gone away. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, we've seen guys like Vince Carter have spectacular dunk contests and guys, you know, throughout the years have great yet still everybody always says, well, Dominique, you know, they still bring up Dominique. Like the stuff he did in, you know, the 80s and late 80s or whatever hasn't been like completely replaced and like, oh my God, it looks so out of date nowadays. I mean, it holds up and it stands up and he's still just a guy who, you know, the stats are great. They're very good. But I think if you're going to make a top 50 case for him, you have to couple his influence and what he sort of meant to the game and his fame as well, if you're going to make that case for him in the top 50.
No, yeah. I agree with that. And I think, you know, like, I think if you look at like his body of stats, like the advanced stats, the rebounding numbers aren't great. The scoring numbers are fat. Like they are big, huge scoring numbers. And another one of the things that I think about with him is like, the way he dunked was just like, it was violent. It was such like a, like an explosive movement with like the two hands and like pumping his legs. And like, it wasn't violent the way that Russell Westbrook plays angry basketball, but like, it was like, get the hell out of the way. Like, I'm going to dunk on you. And it's something that, to your point, like, here we are, what, you know, 30 years past Dominique Wilkins's prime. And like you said, his stuff still stands out. It still looks amazing no matter when you
sounds
watch it.
Sounds amazing. That's my favorite thing watching Dominique's dunks, like the sound. It was like a freaking rocket went off in that arena every time he dunked. It's crazy.
I think that's where like the impact plus the, like the just ridiculous scoring. And it's unfortunate, but it seemed like he always had to play the foil to either Bird or MJ. But I mean, those are two pretty good guys to come in second to, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan, so I'm certainly biased, but I think he was probably the best in-game dunker ever. But was far more than that in terms of, you know, I mean, obviously he scored, you know, he crossed 30 points a game for a couple of seasons. So obviously he was a great scorer in many different ways. I mean, just, you know, had a great jumper, was able to just able to score all over the floor, was just very smooth. But combine that smoothness with the ferocity that you guys were talking about. And, you know, talking about his influence, I mean, he is by far the most important Atlanta Hawk in team history. He's by far the most famous. He casts a shadow over that team still. When he was traded in 94, it was a defensible trade in terms of basketball, but it absolutely, like, the team's relationship with the city has not been the same, you know, in the 20 plus years since that trade happened. And he cast such a shadow over the team and really was able to, you know, make a team that, you know, was a good team for a number of years in the 80s and even a little bit in the early 90s, but was able to kind of elevate them in the overall consciousness. Because, you know, even as a kid, I wasn't a Hawks fan as a kid. I was a Lakers fan, you know, in the late 80s. And and the teams that I knew were basically the teams that made the finals or that, you know, went deep in the playoffs. But I knew about the Hawks because of Dominique. I mean, he was able to kind of carry that franchise and make that franchise far more relevant than it's really ever been since. And I do think that is, I think there's something there. And I just, you know, I think the way that he played was inspiring. And yeah, you know, he was a little bit of a ball hog sometimes, and maybe it wasn't like the beautiful, like, you know, team basketball that we've, you know, that we all love to watch too. But, you know, in its own way, it was incredibly beautiful, glorious basketball.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think one of the things for me, and this goes back to like the comment on winning being something that kind of, I think, probably factored into him not making that top 50 list, is, yeah, he probably was a ball hog at times. And I think within a league that has anywhere from 24 to 30 teams, like, for some teams to be at a level where they require a guy to just take over and dominate, I think there's enough variety to go around where, while it might not be the most aesthetically pleasing thing, I think one of the things that it opens up the opportunity for is for individuals to show just how far they can go or just how far they can carry a team. You look at like what LeBron was able to do in the finals this year, and it was, no, it wasn't the prettiest thing, but it was pretty amazing to watch a single guy put a team on his back and try to carry them, even if he did come up short. And I think there were times where Dominique had to do that with that Atlanta Hawks team, which, again, it's not to say they were a bad team. They had some good players over the years with, you know, Doc Rivers and Kevin Willis and Cliff Levingston and whoever else that they had on that squad. They had some decent teams, but there were a lot of times where, when you're playing the Celtics that have like an all-time front line, where he's just got to get after it and he's got to put the team on his back. And I think that's those scenarios where they were definitely outmatched by the Celtics. That's what led to Dominique being able to go for like 40 whatever and have one of the greatest head-to-head matchups against Larry Bird in playoff history. You know, like, if that's a great balanced team, maybe we don't get that kind of thing. And I think sometimes it gives us opportunities to see these players really take control and just try to do as much as they possibly can.
Absolutely. Real quickly, looking at his advanced stats, we mentioned a little bit, and we like to do this with our podcast, look at, you know, his error in position and where he ranks all time in his position. Error position stands out, of course, points per 36. He's fourth all time, points per 36, 20th in win shares per 48, third in win shares, and sixth in value over replacement players. So that's forwards in his error. And then you look at forwards, you know, all time, stays right there. I mean, he's third in points per 36, 65th in win shares per 48, so falls a little bit there, but otherwise 19th in total win shares and 22nd in value over replacement players. So he holds up pretty much with the advanced stats. Focusing on the points is the big thing that keeps him, but the advanced stats, like a lot of the other stuff he did as well. So he's not just, you know, we like to, you know, say he was just that, but they show that there's a little bit more to his game than just that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I think you can make the case that he probably could have squeezed a little bit more out if you want to nitpick, but I think statistically, stylistically, if you watch the video, he definitely holds up.
Yeah, I absolutely. And he's such a beautiful player to watch. I can't just get over that. And you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I think he is. I mean, it's nice because he's still remembered because of the dunks and because, you know, he was such a memorable player. It's nice that even though, you know, he didn't make the top 50, he still is, you know, he fortunate to play kind of when he played in the situation that he played. And even though he obviously wasn't able to win a championship or even make a finals, you know, for me, I definitely think he should have been in the original top 50. I'm not quite sure that his case is quite strong enough to make this top 50. I mean, you got a lot of great forwards who are going to, yeah, are kind of ahead of him now, you know, who in the last 20 years who are going to be taking up slots, you know, that. And it is just kind of hard to see him in there. I'm not ruling it out, but I do think that there is some.
I agree.
It's
going to be tough.
I'm on board with you guys. And I think you look at it over time, and I think it's like he's one of those guys in 10 years. Like, he's, to me at least, he's probably not going to be an option for the top 50. I think one of the fascinating things about him is that you look at him and you look at it across like the history of the league, and whether he is today or within 5 or 10 years, he won't be a top 50 player, but he'll still be an iconic player, which is just, I think it's fascinating in and of itself that he was such a unique player and such like just an electric player that even though there are other guys who won more and who are probably better all around players, like, he still comes to memory and he still comes to mind when you think about the great players.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Anything else?
No, you know, I've had a long, complicated history with Dominique Wilkins. I feared him when I was a kid because I was such a Jordan fan. And then several years ago, I got into a huge argument with somebody about like who was better between Pippen and Dominique Wilkins. And I feel like over time, I've really had this full circle relationship with Dominique where now I'm older and more secure in myself and I can really appreciate what Dominique brought to the game. Whereas when I was younger, I was threatened by Dominique and couldn't appreciate it the same way I can now. So that was why I signed up to talk about Dominique Wilkins. I wanted to bury the hatchet, and I appreciate the
we'll let him know.
Yeah. The opportunity.
He will no doubt be listening to this.
I hope so. But no, I'm a Dominique Wilkins fan. I think if he played in the game today, I think he would be, YouTube, GIF, Vine sensation, just like everything. He would be, people would go batshit for him. So,
yeah, for sure. So, anything else, Rich?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. And, everyone can find us at hardwoodparoxysm.com. Both the HP network and podcasts, all the podcasts that are part of the network, and our Over and Back has a feed on iTunes, which we would definitely appreciate if you'd leave a rating and a review. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Over and Back NBA. And we have a forum where you can chat about all these players and a whole bunch of topics about basketball history at overandbacknba.com. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon.